Fans Rally. I'm Sarah Dixit Esper Namaseh, the local community organizer for Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington and North Idaho. And I, along with Mayoral Pro-Choice Washington, the Spokane Women's March, and Spokane Indivisible, I want to thank you all for standing up against these crazy abortion bans and for showing up to say abortion is healthcare. Within the past 5 months, we've seen an unprecedented attack on abortion rights, with 16 abortion bans being passed in 2019 already. Boo! Boo. These bans come in all shapes and sizes, but the message is extremely clear. Anti-choice politicians and activists are after Roe v. Wade. Already, 1 in 3 women of reproductive age live in a state where abortion could be outlawed if Roe is overturned. That's over 25 million people. This is not what people in the U.S. want, nor is it something they'll stand for. In fact, 73% of Americans say they do not want to see Roe overturned, and we are the majority. Together we can stand up for access to safe and legal abortion and reject these attempts to strip us of our health and rights. Woo! Today we have 6 great speakers for you all who will be sharing what these bans mean to them and for our democracy. We have Nagmano Shirazi. Woo! Dao Constantine. Woo! Lola Cage. Woo! Jet Tilly. Woo! Cynthia Hamilton. Summington. Please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Nagmano.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming out and lending us your voice and making sure that it's heard loud and clear. So my name is Nagmano Shirazi, and I moved to Spokane about 7 years ago. And I'm a single mom, I'm an educator, I'm a scientist. So 25 white GOP Alabama state senators, all men, voted last week for the most restrictive abortion laws in America, making it a felony in the state for a doctor to perform an abortion in nearly all cases. I am pro-choice. How can we even begin categorizing when a woman deems it necessary to have an abortion? How can we not have agency on our own bodies? Society cannot take on the fetus as human and dehumanize the woman who's carrying the fetus. These laws are insane. Only people insensitive to women would even dare to speak of these issues, let alone pass legislation about us. It is painful enough to lose a fetus, but imagine having to defend yourself and be considered a murderess on top of losing something so precious. It is not an easy decision to make in the first place. And what about the role of the man? Making babies is not a solitary phenomenon. Where is the equal and simultaneous punitive action against the man if the mother is being punished? In some states, rapists get custody and visitation rights over their victims' babies. This is obviously a war on women. Decisions about how, when, and if to start or grow a family should be made by women and their doctors, not politicians. It's not their place. If the folks who passed this law were sincerely pro-life, they'd have to accompany this legislation with amended anti-incarceration laws, education and health care for all, with the restoration of voting rights for black folks, and with the dismantling of bigoted immigration policies. They'd have to demilitarize the police, deal with food justice, honor the indigenous, and offer reparations to African, Jewish, and Muslim Americans for all that has been done to them in the past. They'd have to care that women are dying in childbirth, and that disabled people are impacted because of lack of access to basic resources, care about gentrification, rents that are too high, the surge in homelessness, and the fact that the elderly are often mistreated and deprioritized. And we haven't even begun to speak about when women are forced to get abortions when they don't want them. The fact that 9 states are adopting these legislations means this really is a war on women, our reproductive health, and our rights. These laws make us and our families unsafe. No one should have the right to tell me what to do with my body. My name is Narmana Shirazi, and I call for banning these one-sided, bigoted, and unfair laws against women and our reproductive health. Thank you.
New Spokane, how you doing? Isn't it kind of the Alabama legislature to bring us together here today? My name is Dow Constantine. I'm the elected executive of King County, Washington, and I am pro-choice. We're going. It's customary for elected officials to recognize their peers here, and in this case, I am in his house, so I want to recognize here in solidarity the president of the Spokane City Council, Ben Stuckert. Ben, thank you. I'm the elected leader of a county of 2.25 million, larger than 15 states, and we are solidly pro-choice, just like this state is solidly pro-choice. And I'm not just an elected official, I'm a husband, I'm the father of a 5-year-old daughter, and I, importantly for today, am the son of a woman who now near 90 years old was, even before Roe v. Wade, teaching public school students about reproductive reality, about being in control of their own bodies, about the choices they need to have in this world, boys and girls. Now we are seeing the price of electing zealots to office in this country, aren't we? We're seeing the price of electing ideologues, electing people who don't show any shred of humanity but are simply committed to the party line. Well, let me tell you something. They have gone too far this time, my friends. This is going to come back to bite them. Well, here in Washington, we voted again, even before Roe v. Wade, to make sure abortion was safe and legal. And it's going to continue to be safe and legal across the state of Washington. And we're doing our part in Martin Luther King County. We have dramatically expanded access to LARCs, to long-acting reversible contraception, for all women and young women and girls. We have made it possible for more than half of the people who are uninsured to get health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. We have driven the teen pregnancy rate down to among the lowest in the nation, rivaled only by Boston. And when the Trump administration arbitrarily gutted the funding that we had gotten to study our reproductive health curriculum that's being implemented across this country, because abstinence-only education is no education at all, we sued the administration, and we won. Let me tell you something, Spokane. Let me tell you something, America. As a society, we have to teach and promote healthy reproductive and sexual behavior to young boys and to men. And we have to cultivate in our society respect for the sexual autonomy of every single person, women and men. And we, and when I say we, gentlemen, I mean you, must join me in recognizing that gender inequality persists and that it pervades every aspect of our society. If you don't believe me, ask yourself this. Would we be having this rally? Would we be having this conversation if men could become pregnant?
No!
Would we?
No!
Hell no! Now, there are a lot of great signs here, and I could quote a few of them, but we're on video. So let me just instead elevate it a little bit and talk about this. Our county, King County, which was originally named for a slave-owning vice president of the United States, was renamed by our council and the legislature for Dr. Martin Luther King. And one of his most famous quotations is most apt for the situation in which this country finds itself at this very moment. He wrote, from the jail, he wrote, "An injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Well, that is truer today than it has ever been. Let us rain down justice on this country. Let us fight these abortion bans. We can do it. Go get them.
Hey. Hi, everybody. My name is Lola.
Hi, Lola.
Lola Cage is just my stage name. Follow me on Spotify. I am a musician. I'm also a women's rights activist. I'm also a animal rights activist and an LGBT activist. And I'm here to share my story with you. My name is Lola Fridley. I am 16 years old. In the state of Washington, I must be 18 to move out of my parents' house without an emancipation court date, as well as 21 to legally purchase and consume alcohol and marijuana. These laws are set into place because my brain is still developing, and I am not yet prepared to make decisions that may impact me for the rest of my life, such as moving in with a stupid boyfriend or developing a drug addiction. January of this year, I got pregnant when I was on birth control. I had recently broken up with my boyfriend, and I didn't know I was pregnant until I miscarried one morning in the bathroom of a coffee shop. This was one of the most painful days of my life. Despite this, Spokane, the place I call home, assures me that if these circumstances were to arise again, I would have access to a safe, legal abortion if I were to choose to do so. Unfortunately, we're gathered here today because a few states have decided that the rights of somebody with a uterus hold less value than of a clump of cells held inside of them. It's horrifying to imagine that if I were to be in the same situation as before, in the wrong place and at the wrong time, my miscarriage would have been referred to as a murder charge. These politicians are not only pushing abortion bans, but also regulations that forbid state access to birth control and even the right to withdraw consent after intercourse has been initiated. I am 16 years old, and I should not be up here having to beg that my fellow teenagers and children as young as the age of 11 are granted these basic human rights. But here I am and here we are. If I ultimately choose not to have children, then I and the many other young people that are here right now are here to advocate for the reproductive freedoms of other future generations. The pro-life agenda, whether it be the churches or the politicians, or both, are no longer standing for the lives of unborn children. They are pushing for a war against the female anatomy, and we are not going to let history repeat itself.
Okay, hi. My name is Jet Tilly, and I have nothing prepared. Because when I was asked by the narrow people to come and speak, it was about, well, we're having this rally. I was honored and deeply disappointed that I have to stand here before you today to speak about something that we thought, in our ignorance, was put to bed, was done with. I'm going to be 68 years old a week from tomorrow. And I don't want the young woman who just spoke to be speaking again when she is 68 years old. I think it is time for us to remember what illegal abortion means. And what it means is that women die. Women maim themselves, families are torn apart, When I was a young child, the first abortion story that I remember, I didn't realize was an abortion story. Because I was about 8 years old and we were sitting around the table at my grandmother's house, and the story started coming out about a rape that had occurred, a pregnancy that had occurred, and how the family doctor had gone and said, "She has been through enough, we will take care of it." That's the way things used to happen. In some quarters, you might be lucky enough to have a doctor who would do a D&C and your pregnancy would be terminated. However, the other abortion stories that I have are of saying goodbye to my best friend as I was a freshman in college, who was going to go get an abortion in Canada because it was legal at that point in time. And she said, "I'm hoping that this will work out, because if not, then I'm going to have to get an illegal abortion." And I never saw her again. I have no idea. She had no family. I never saw her. She disappeared. So all those signs out here about not again with the coat hangers, no more coat hangers, no more coat hangers, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Women would self-abort. Women would do anything to terminate a pregnancy that was not wanted. I want to say one thing and then I'll be done here because it's too sad. And I know that we're supposed to be all getting excited and stopping the bands. But we have imperialist, white supremacist, capitalist patriarchs in charge. Yeah. And those people need to go away.
Yeah.
That's just the fact of it. So if you have one of those people representing you, run. Run against them. Stop fascism. Yeah. I want to talk about language, about the language of pro-life. I want all of us to work very hard to take that out of our mouths, except when we are speaking about ourselves. Because we are the pro-life majority of this country. We care about women's lives, we care about poor people's lives, we care about immigrant lives, we care about the planet, we care about what happens when a child is born into a family. We do not want to go back into the place where women have to choose between putting food on the table and having another pregnancy, because that's what it gets to. I am hopeful. I will say that one of my heroes is Angela Davis. And what Angela Davis says is that we, no matter how bad things are, what we need to do is to engender hope, is to see each other, is to speak truth to power, always, always, always. Don't let them get away with this!
So, I'm just really grateful that you guys are all here today, because it's important to stand together, because a lot of times people who are doing the work forget that there are other people who are affected and who are doing the work. The Women's March, you know, we're helping a little bit here, because it's that kind of energy that is going to be required to get these guys out of office. Okay? So I want you to take all this anger and stuff and all this concern and scared feelings and all of those things that you've got rolling up in you, and also in the feelings and people that are not here, mostly those people who are not here. We need all of us to get together, and we have to vote. I mean, is that like asking too much? All right, let me just do this. Quick civics. How many people here are registered to vote? Okay, good. How many people here have registered others to vote? Oh, that was a smaller number. We can fix that, right? We have to fix that. We have to fix that. Because it's a bullets or ballots kind of thing. We're on the ballot side. Right? Good. Just checking. I wanted to make sure I was at the right party. Okay, good. So that's really all I want to say, because it's just important. I'm old. I'm an old Vietnam veteran era, you know, and so I have. Thank you. So I have grandchildren and I have great grandchildren that are girls. And this is bullshit that they have to even think about. Who are these wackadoodles that think they have control over my carcass? Damn straight, Skippy. We're just not having it. But we can be pleasant, we can be fun and all that stuff, and I want you to put on your best happy warrior faces. The operative word being warrior. Am I speaking to the choir here, or can I get a little bit? Good, I'm kind of used to a call and response kind of thing. So. Anyway, I really appreciate that, and I know that there are a lot of people, I think the number is 1 in 4, but actually it's probably closer to 1 in 3 people who actually do get an abortion. And guess what? I was in there. Not because I wanted to, but because some man told me after having 2 kids, and I had decided, oh, this is a big job. I don't want any more children because I might not be an effective parent to get them from cradle to launched. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I went in and I said, I want to have my tubes tied. And the doc, a man, said, oh, you're crazy. What do you want that for? I said, because I don't want any more children. And you know, sometimes birth control don't work. Way back then. I'm sure it's still true now. Okay. So anyway, he wouldn't give me one. Would not tie the tube. So guess what? Fertile Myrtle here. I got pregnant. Did I have that baby? No, I did not. Because I was blessed to be pregnant at a time when Roe v. Wade had just gotten passed. So I have 2 biological daughters that turned out to be incredible gifts to our society. I love them. They have my grandchildren, even some boys. I have 1 daughter, as a matter of fact, who said she made a joke she was gonna have her own baseball team. She stopped at 3, that was enough. So anyway, it's just important that nobody else has to go through that crap again and have the questions asked that I had to answer. Like, well, what would you do if one of your children died? Having another one's gonna bring that one back? I don't think so. Or what are you going to do if you get divorced and you have to find another man to be able to, you know, take your children on and stuff? I go, I don't need a man. I can date. It's kind of fun. But anyway, it's just really, really important that we not have those kind of questions get asked of you guys, because it's just stupid. Why should they care? It's your bodies, And if you want to have your tubes tied, or if you want to trim your family and keep it to a size that you can actually manage and pay for and get them through school and keep them clothed and all the stuff that we're required to do as a member of society, then by God, who is anybody to stand in your way? Anyway, that's all that I need to say. I appreciate all your help, but I'm not kidding about this get out the vote thing. I'm not even kidding, a heartbeat. Okay? So anyway, thank you very much, y'all. We'll pass it on to the next person.
Hi, my name's Alice. I didn't know I was speaking today, but who can turn down Norma? Look at that smile. She's adorable. I'm 68 years old, too. I didn't think I was going to be doing this again, but here we are. When I was in high school in Los Angeles, there was no Roe v. Wade, and it was very easy to drive to Tijuana. It wasn't even an hour. It was easy. We always went down there and bought beer. My best friend, Sherry, got pregnant, drove herself on her 16th birthday to Tijuana alone. She died 3 days later of a dirty abortion. We are not going back to that. And I just want to mention, one of our speakers talked about the term pro-life. You young people may not realize that that used to be a term that referred to people who were against executions. And the religious right co-opted it like they have so many things. So let's take pro-life back. Thank you.
Thank you.
No back alleys in the night.
For safe choices, we will fight.
Sway a little bit, it helps.
No.